Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
It's the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band, and we are on the internet at radio2rdj.com. Hi there, I am the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz. Sitting to my left is Alex Horus. G'day, Alex.
Hey, Gary, how's it
Alex,
going?
Alex Chaos, I believe now.
One can only hope.
One can only hope. And speaking of chaos, sitting to my right is none other than the faceplant kid, Mr. Jason Murray. G'day, Jason.
G'day. Feels like a long time since we've been all in the studio together. I mean, you guys have been
forever.
Yeah, you guys have been carrying the show while I've been quite absent off gallivanting around.
You have indeed. You have indeed.
You're really gallivanting, Jason.
I know.
We're going to have to clip his wings, I think, Alex. What do you reckon?
My wings have been clipped. I don't think I'm going anywhere for a while.
Right.
Yeah, he's out of leave.
Okay.
Yes, basically.
I'm out of leave, but that doesn't stop me. I'm heading across the big pond.
You're out of leave, but you're leaving.
Pardon?
You're out of leave, but you're leaving.
I am leaving, yes. Heading across to the West Coast for a couple of weeks. Just doing a quick cigar runner, really.
Right. Alex, what kind of metal are you going to play on next week's show?
Oh, the heaviest.
Yes, there we go. Excellent. We might slip some Guy Sebastian in as well.
Oh, Guy Sebastian, no. Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus.
All of the things that Gary doesn't let us play.
Oh, it's not. Have I ever stopped you guys from playing that stuff?
No, because I actually managed to play Guy Sebastian once.
Yeah, no,
why would you do that?
Was I an accident.
Was I here at the time?
You were.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
Was I? I don't think so.
Anyway. It has been a while, hasn't it? I've been off to... I was in Paris and in Melbourne last weekend. And
right.
It is good to be back.
You're in Paris and you're in the Paris of the South.
Yes, this is true.
You're being too kind to Melbourne.
No, Melbourne isn't nice.
It is actually the intended to be. Is it actually its sister city?
I don't know if they're sister cities, but Melbourne is often referred to as the Paris of the South.
Yeah.
It also has the largest Greek population for any city outside of Greece.
I'm not sure how that makes it Paris.
Yeah, no, I was about to say.
Doesn't.
I mean, if it had the largest, French population.
Well, while we're talking trivia, of course, we open the show with a sound clip from 2001, A Space Odyssey.
It did. It's a special week for that movie.
It is a special week for that movie because this week that movie turned 50 years since the movie was released.
50 years since we all realized that computers will eventually kill us and decided to start a weekly radio show reporting on the advances that technology.
Does that make you feel old, public service, gentlemen?
Sorry?
Does that... Exactly. Alex is obviously forgetting stuff. Now, here's a thought for you guys. Mm. That movie came into being more than 10 years before each of you were born.
Just about, but yes.
20.
Well, there you go. Does that make you feel old? Does it make you? It makes me feel bloody old.
Sorry, I don't feel old.
No, get lost. Uh-huh. Get lost.
Correct answer, Alex.
Yes. Okay, we're going to start the show with a little bit of Arlo Guthrie doing a Hoyt Axton song.
This might make you feel old.
It's a beautiful song. I love this. It's one of my favourite Hoyt Axton pieces. He's a great composer. And this is Evangelina. When it decides to start. Here we go.
And I dream in the morning that she brings me water. And I dream in the evening that she brings me wine. Just a poor man's daughter from Puerto Peñasco. Evangelina in old Mexico. There's a great hot desert.
You're listening.
listening to The Gadget Grill on Radio 2 RDJ, 88.1 of the FM band, and radio2rdj.com on the web. And now it's time for the news.
It is indeed. Jason, would you care to lead us off on this dance?
No pressure.
No pressure.
Sure.
Don't make any mistakes. Don't let anyone interrupt you.
Yeah, no.
Especially me.
Or me.
Nintendo has come out swinging with some new peripherals for Switch this week. They're called Nintendo Labo.
I thought those aren't out for another couple of weeks.
They've announced them. They're coming out.
No, they announced them like last year.
Did they? I didn't see this announcement at all last week. They're cardboard peripherals. They must. Maybe they came out in the States. They're not out here yet. Because they're all over the place this week.
Yeah, no, they just had a press briefing recently.
Ah, that's why. So I didn't see this at all.
Oh, no, sorry, yeah, they announced it in January.
Well, that's gone well.
We didn't talk about it in January.
Let's talk about it now.
We did. You just weren't here.
What did you say about it in January, just for my benefit?
But it seems exciting.
It does seem exciting, doesn't it?
Well, this is a good start to the news.
This has gone well. Look, I haven't been here for two weeks, Gary.
Look what you've done.
You see, I told him not to screw it up, didn't I? Yes.
And what's he done?
It's ours. Shall I move on to the next
story?
No
wonder we call him the faceplant kid.
Yes. I've come out swinging, missed, and fallen over on my own feet.
My God. Look at that. No, don't.
Let's go for the next story then, shall we?
Okay. Next story. Jason, try again.
SpaceX has received approval from the US FCC to create a global satellite-powered broadband network. Did we talk about this in January?
I did not.
Just checking. No one has said yes.
I did not.
So SpaceX is going to seek to launch over 4,000 satellites into orbit in order to build this broadband network. And they say that it can be used to bring internet services to remote and disaster affected areas. Sounds a little bit like what Google's trying to do with Project Loon, but Project Loon is actually geared towards providing 4G cellular data, whereas this will definitely be satellite powered internet.
Right. Facebook's got that weird internet plan.
Yes. Yeah.
But I mean,
internet.org, right?
No, I don't think it's internet.org. This is where they had their planes that have like massive wings that were like meant to beam internet onto people.
Isn't it wonderful that there's so many companies?
Were they the solar powered?
Maybe.
Planes? Yes, yeah. I think they were the solar powered one.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's wonderful that so many companies whose revenue relies on people having internet access are willing to deliver internet access to people around the world.
Yeah, it's like, cool, we're going to give you internet access so we can sell you ads.
Yeah.
Or we can deliver ads to you.
That's how it works, guys. They should just
skywrite the ads.
Isn't that what they're doing? Just cut out the middleman.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they're doing? GoDaddy.
I'm not sure if that's a command or a business.
Is there something you're telling me?
Don't ask a question unless you already know the answer, gentlemen. Never ask a question.
What is research even for?
That's right.
Okay. GoDaddy.
Okay. GoDaddy are moving their cloud services, or they're moving their services to Amazon Cloud Services, AWS.
Wow. Where are they moving them from? Or have they taken them off their own custom server?
They're moving it from their own custom structure. They're moving the majority to AWS, a multi-year deal that will see AWS becoming a partner in selling products of GoDaddy's, managed WordPress, GoCentral.
Cool.
75 million domains.
Does this mean that when AWS has its outages, as they are, they're few and far between, but when they do have an outage, they take the entire internet with them, does that mean that the domain registration services will fall over?
Probably. Huh. Probably. But 75 million domains are going to go across to Amazon Web Services.
Well, so
that's,
I mean, like, operating
pretty heavy, isn't it?
But operating a registrar... Well, I guess if they're actually moving their DNS services over to AWS, then yes. But, I mean, operating a registrar is just an API that connects to the...
Well, this is
registrar.
Not just the registration.
Yeah.
This is the actual web hosting.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think that is pretty big.
Yeah.
Alex.
So the Commonwealth Games are now well in swing, and there's been a bit of a techie angle to this year's games, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Telstra and Optus are both trialling 5G on the Gold Coast, and in both cases, it's publicly accessible. So Telstra's running a series of Wi-Fi hotspots around Surfers Paradise that are powered by their 5G backhaul.
One of them's in a car, isn't it?
Oh, no, that's something. That's not for Hotspot. That's actually, no, it might be.
No, there but is no, one of them is in a car. Yeah, they're essentially war driving the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, but that's not for public Hotspot that you can connect to. You can't connect to their car.
It is. Yeah, yeah. It's in a car. You can drive. If it is near you, then you can connect to it. But you have to chase it down the road at that point.
I thought the car was just a self-driving car or something. If they were trialing,
As far as I'm aware, it has one of the hotspots in it, and they're also on some of the old
payphones,
the old payphone locations.
Yeah, but so Telstra say they have about like 3 gigabits per second of backhaul, so which is really fast.
How many Linux ISOs can you actually get on that in the space of 10 minutes?
Well, it's 300 megabytes per second.
Wow.
So you can download literally a gig in less than 10
seconds. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, 5G is going to be awesome.
Yeah, obviously, real world speeds. Well, you know, no device can actually attain those kind of speeds, even over. Actually, I don't know how you'd go with Wi-Fi.
Well, you're connecting to the hotspot over Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
But obviously, that Wi-Fi will be split between multiple people anyway. So, yeah.
But, you know, they did do speed trials, and they did short attaining those 3 gigabit per second speed, which is insane.
Sounds pretty awesome.
And so, Optus is doing a similar thing. It's got a public area where you can, rather than talking about speed, they're more like talking about things like low latency.
Hmm.
And so, they have a bunch of like exhibits where you can throw... use a robotic arm to get a drink from a vending machine. And they're talking about, okay, this is kind of an idea of how a surgeon might use a robotic arm to perform surgery over 5G where they're, you know, someone's like 1,000 kilometers away.
I remember it...
The Optus on the exhibit is a bit more experiential.
Yeah, a little bit more hands-on, and here's what you can do. I remember last year at Mobile World Congress, Huawei had an AR or a VR shooter that was actually running over 5G data as well. So you put on a VR headset and everything was coming down to... No, I didn't do it.
Right. Just checking.
But it came down to latency, like you say.
Yeah. Okay, Jason. You got another story?
I do have another story. Well, I have a series of stories.
Okay.
Which is the Apple rumor mill, which appears to be cranking up this week because we've had the iPad for Education launch.
We should talk about that.
We should talk about that, actually. Do you want to talk about that before we talk about rumors?
Yeah, so Apple refreshed the iPad, like the standard entry-level one.
And brought it down in price as well.
No, it didn't. Well, it's still the same price as last year's model.
Okay.
Yeah, it's...
But they released a cheaper stylus.
That's Logitech.
Ah, that's right. Yes, it's the Crayon, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that one's focused at education.
Yeah, it still starts at 469, just like the iPad last year. But the main difference is it has a faster processor under the hood, a generation newer in terms of chip, and it also supports the Apple Pencil, so you can use it as a notepad. And they're talking about it being of education. Well, they're doing a bigger discount for schools, who I think in Australia can get another $40 off, $30 off.
So if you're buying in bulk, that's reasonable.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
If you're not buying in bulk, whoopee.
And they also announced some new software in terms of actual classroom management, where a teacher can actually manage the entire fleet of iPads. For example, force lock them, force them to all open a specific app, and like deep link integration in terms of into textbooks, which is, I guess, something that you really need with kids in classrooms, because I know that when I had a laptop at school, I wasn't doing my work.
I would love to actually just exert that control over someone's iPad just to mess with them as well.
You're a bad person.
Miss Smith, Alex Chaos's teacher. Did you know that Alex was not actually using his laptop for work when he was in your class?
Well, actually, let's be fair. In religious in computer studies, I went on DIG when DIG was still a thing. Then I used religious studies to do my computer programming assignments, and I came top of a class in IT.
And how well did you do in religious studies?
I still got an A. It wasn't a real subject.
Of course not. Now.
Let's talk about the Apple rumor mill. Let's get away from that subject quickly, shall we? So three interesting rumors came out this week. One is that Apple is rumored to be redesigning the Mac Pro for a new release next year.
No, it's not rumored. Apple confirmed it officially.
There we go.
Yeah,
and, they're designing it to work better for workflows, so they say. I don't really know what that means.
It's going to be modular, is what they mean. Because right now,
so it's basically like an old PC.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, right now the current Mac Pro is like an upgradable cylinder,
and it
works really well.
And they also said that they're going to start using their own CPU, not a.
That's the next thing. They are said to be developing their own chips for Macs, which I assume would come around the time of the updated Mac Pro.
They're talking about the rumor suggests the chips will be 2020.
Hmm.
And it would actually
It's not entirely clear whether they're talking about x86 chips or ARM chips either.
It would make sense if it was ARM.
Hmm. It would, but that would also mean changing the architecture of the Mac again. Yeah. But they've done it before. And of course, the other rumor that we're hearing is future iPhone technology, saying that Apple is starting to look again at curved screens and touchless control
iPhones. I don't want curved screens.
I kind of don't either, but. You just know if they do it, then everyone else will pick it up and do it as well.
And that's a bad thing.
The no-touch control part is interesting because it's something that a division at Google has been working on for a while, putting a little radar in some Android watches. So you might change a setting by twisting a virtual dial over the face of the watch. And so it would pick up the fact that you're moving your fingers in that motion and change an on-screen display.
That could be interesting.
Yeah.
This is Russell Morris and Wings of an Eagle.
Well, I'm looking out on an overcast sky in the morning. I can hear the warning as it calls to you.
Welcome back. Am I back on? Welcome back to the Gadget Girl on the radio.
You are back on and your front is on too.
Oh, really? I should not know. You're on 2RDJ, 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at radio2rdj.com, surprisingly.
I know.
Of course you know.
Well, I'm surprised too.
Yeah, like how have we slimmed the air? How have we not been kicked off?
I know. Terrible, isn't it? Terrible, aren't we?
Yeah, we're an insult community radio in Burwood.
Jason.
We might be the only community radio in Burwood.
No, we're not, actually. There is another Burwood community radio station.
No, there is another.
Yes. Jason, you have been travelling.
I have travelled the world.
You have travelled the world.
Seen the sights.
You have seen the sights.
As long as the sights are Paris related.
I believe you got an eyeful of a tower. And you went... You almost went insane.
No, I did not fall in the river.
Okay. Yes. Well, that's what I said, almost.
That's fine. I walked over it a couple of times. So yes. So I did recently travel to Paris as a guest of Huawei for their launch of their P20 series phones. Thank you very much for having me, guys. It's much appreciated. And that launch took place in an amazing venue. I assume you've been to Paris.
I have been to Paris.
You've been to Paris, Alex?
I've been to Paris.
Been to Paris. So... Huawei's launch took place in Le Grand Palais, which is a very prestigious place to be holding an event. It's a building that I believe was built for one of the world fairs around the turn of last century, and it has an amazing glass dome covering it inside. So when you go into the building, it's like you're outdoors still. Huawei launched.
It's a 19th century atrium.
Yes, basically. Yes, it is huge. So Huawei launched the P20 and the P20 Pro and a couple of other things at this launch event.
Some
accessories, yes. Some headphones.
Earbuds. What are they calling them? Ear sticks?
Probably. I don't know. They should call them WAPods or something like that. I don't know.
I was hoping they'd call them earbuds, but I think Fanavet have like...
They'd have a problem with Disney.
Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, to the phones... they launched more than two phones, but their focus for most of the presentation was two. The P20, which is the upgrade to last year's P10.
Right.
They skipped nine numbers.
It's twice as good.
They actually addressed why they jumped from 10 to 20. They said that the camera evolution is that much that they decided 11 was just not enough.
Three cameras, I believe?
No. So the P20 is still a dual camera phone. It's a 5.8-inch phone, and... I've been waiting to say this. It is not an 18:9 screen. because it's an 18.5:9 screen. God. So it ruins.
They're just trying to do this to piss me off.
They are.
There's this one guy in Australia.
Yes. Yeah, they're like, we have to design around Gary Stark. So it is
that would not surprise me. It is an
18.5:9 screen. It is a 5.8-inch display on the P20, and that phone, they didn't really put that much focus on in their launch event. They carted it out and said, here it is. Oh, and by the way, it's upgraded camera system, it's a dual camera system on the P20. It has a 12 megapixel RGB sensor with an f1.8 aperture and a 20 megapixel mono sensor with an f1.6 aperture. And that is enough to shoot it to the top of the DxO Mark leaderboard.
Right.
Whether or not you place that much trust in DxO Mark's scores or not is another thing. Now,
it's a good benchmark.
I think it's a good benchmark because it's a constant, right?
Yeah, well, and like it's more, I don't think, like, you know, you can trust DxO Mark in terms of sensor quality, but sensor quality is very different to real-world usage.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that seems
like a good disclaimer. Because their tests are very, they have like stock standard tests for on each phone.
Yeah, at least it's a benchmark, right?
Yeah.
There are a set of common tests that are run against each phone, so you get a valid comparison under certain conditions. They're not real-world conditions, but at least it's a comparison.
Measure of ability.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. So the P20...
I failed my DxO Mark.
Did you? Is it because your right eye is faulty tonight?
Old red eyes is back, but no, it's because my ability is dis.
Fair enough. So the P20 has wiped the floor with the current top of the DxO Mark leaderboard, the Galaxy S9, and Eclipse.
That didn't take long, did it?
No, that only lasted a couple of weeks. But it's the nature of camera advancements in the last few years is that everyone comes out with a new advancement in camera. And Huawei introduced the P20, sat it atop the DxO Mark leaderboard, and then knocked it off its own perch with the P20 Pro, which is a 6.1-inch screen, again, 18.5:9, I'm sorry. And the big thing with the P20 Pro is that it has three cameras. It is a triple camera system designed and worked on in partnership with Leica. And the three cameras that it features, they have a 20-megapixel mono camera, probably the same one from the P20, a 40-megapixel RGB sensor, and an 8-megapixel telephoto sensor that can go up to 3x zoom. Now, that lets them do a hybrid zoom to get them up to about 5x, which that's a trick we've seen from a number of manufacturers in the last year. I think most notably, I think it was Oppo was proposing something similar.
Yeah.
Oppo had a physical one, but they also do it in their normal
way. Yeah, but the physical one hasn't actually come to market yet.
No, it hasn't. Although it might soon. And so they've added a color temperature sensor on the phone as well, so that it can take a bit of a look at the color that's around and attempt to automatically correct white balance to get a better idea of what you're pointing the phone at. Now, there's some pretty amazing capabilities that this camera can do. Some of them are tied into the AI capabilities with the Kirin processor in the phone. Now, using the AI software on the phone, it can handle a long exposure handheld for about 6 seconds. Now, there are different ways of actually doing that, but as near as I can tell, it actually means that when using the camera's night mode, which is actually a HDR style bracketed exposure, that you can actually get some pretty amazing shots if you keep it handheld.
It wipes the floor with everything in terms of low light photography.
Yeah, it's been pretty amazing. I've been taking some shots with the P20 Pro on my Instagram the last week or so, and some of it's just stunning. Some of the photos. Yeah. I took it out to meet the Sydney Harbour Bridge one night because I take every phone to meet the Harbour Bridge because it's so photographable. And Luna Park also got a bit of a look in this week as well.
Yeah, it's worth, at least it wipes the floor in terms of brightness. It does take the brightest photos. And
it's worth noting that it downsamples to 10 megapixels in night mode.
Yeah, I was about to point that out. And that does mean, for example, if you're taking posture, faces can look a little bit softer because it's turning 4 pixels into one.
Yeah, and that's sort of something that we're starting to see other manufacturers do when they downsample for night mode as well.
Yeah, Samsung, they're doing the same thing in terms of noise reduction.
Hmm.
And so, this can kind of come down to some personal preference in terms of how you want your photography to look, where it just looks a little bit softer on, say, the P20 and the S9 compared to, say, the Pixel, where it isn't as aggressive in terms of removing noise.
From a photography point of view, I find it fascinating that, for me, as a person who likes using a real camera, and I've got cameras of various formats going up to large format as well, how I like to use a really, really, really sharp lens. You know, so sharp that it'll actually cut the image. You know, sort of I like to use really high quality glass.
I'm a glassier.
High quality glass. And what do? We go and we soften the image. And I find that rather amusing from a photography point of view.
I think it depends what you're doing with your with
absolutely.
Your photos as well.
Like, absolutely. So
if I'm shooting photographs in low light on the P20 Pro, they're probably going to go to Instagram. And that'll downsample them again a little bit more. And it actually ends up making them look a little bit sharper than they do when they when it gets compressed onto Instagram. But the original photos can still look pretty stunning on the screen.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing camera.
Overall, Jason, what do you think of the phone?
So what's it actually like as a phone? All I've talked about is the camera.
So this is the thing. We talked about this with the Galaxy S9. Samsung says that we're now looking at cameras that can make phone calls. They're absolutely correct.
Oh, I know.
This also happens to run apps. It happens to be an Android phone. Huawei's got their own.
I'm waiting for a phone that can refrigerate my can of drink.
Well, maybe you could run a refrigerator off USB-C on one of these phones.
Probably.
I don't know.
Probably.
Maybe your refrigerator can also recharge your phone.
Yes,
maybe that. Maybe that's a better idea.
Okay.
So, in terms of it actually being a phone and running Android apps, it does.
It does.
Given that it's an 18.5:9 screen, which we still haven't talked about, one of the major parts of this, the 18.5:9 screen does mess with some apps in some ways, and also
it has a notch,
so it's got one of the most discussed features of the iPhone.
One of the most disgusting.
No, look, don't hate the notch.
No,
embrace the notch life.
Embrace the notch. And so there's a small notch in the top of the screen.
It's a software notch, isn't it?
No, it's not. No. It houses the physical camera for the front-facing camera, and it houses the proximity sensor. But through a little bit of software trickery, you can change the system's status bar to black, and thus you can hide the notch from your sight, but it is still there, and you get notification icons on either side of it.
Right.
Which is a neat little trick. It does mess with a couple of the apps, and I'm hoping that they fix that with a bit of a software update, but we'll see how that goes.
Okay. This is Cold Joy. Bye bye, baby.
Bye bye, bye bye, bye bye, baby. Goodbye. I gotta get a gone. Bye bye, bye, baby. Goodbye.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on to RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at radio2rdj.com. I'm going to talk about a couple of accessories that I've been playing with over the last few weeks.
Excessive accessories.
Well,
actually, no, just about, just adequate accessories.
Nothing exceeds like excess, as
what
always
do you got?
Say. Okay, we got a couple of things. The first one is all of these are actually from 360, and 360 make a range of inexpensive accessories for
smartphones.
Not just smartphones, but yes, they do make them for smartphones. But one of them, for instance, the first device, is a set of earbuds, wireless earbuds. So
that sounds cool.
This is.
Where are they? Have you got them in?
I didn't bring them in. No. They come in.
Well, how are we going to show the listener?
Yeah.
Well, that's a very good question.
We'll hold a photo up to the microphone.
We'll hold a photo up. Yeah.
They
come in a little case, which is about 2 inches long, about an inch deep, and about an inch and a half across. And they've got two little sockets on them, and the earbuds sit in the sockets.
Oh, so they're wire-free earbuds.
They're wire-free, yeah, wireless wire-free. And they recharge themselves in there.
Mm-hmm. This is becoming a pretty familiar model for earbuds these days.
It is indeed.
It's good to see more companies getting on the bandwagon.
And they connect to your phone very easily, to your tablet or to your laptop if you so desire.
But do they stay in sync with one another? Because I've found that can be a big problem with wire-free buds, where you can get you've got the master bud that always stays in sync, but then your left or right, the other one will die out.
I've not had any such issues. Well,
that's always good.
And the one really surprising thing, and the one really, really good thing, was I took them out of the packet, charged them. Put them in my ears, and they didn't fall out.
That is a common issue for you.
That is a common issue for me. So these ones fitted. So that was the first one, the 360 BT Studio True Wireless Earbuds. Quality of the sound was good. I certainly wouldn't qualify them as studio in the way that what I'm wearing in here a studio, but the sound quality was certainly acceptable. Second device, also wireless.
Price,
$130.
It's pretty good.
That's not bad.
How long do they last on the battery?
They last a few hours on the battery. I've not had them run out on me.
Okay.
And that's using them several hours at a time.
So you plug them into the case and then plug the case into charge?
Yeah.
Cool.
The next one is the wireless charger. So if you've got something like an S9 or an S8 or
an iPhone,
it's got this little pad that's about 3 or 4 inches in square, same size as a coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And you just stick your phone down on there and it starts charging it.
Yeah, great.
Very simple, very easy. And this is about $90 for a wireless charger. Very, very nice. And it is that simple to use. You just plug it in and drop your phone on it.
Is it a fast wireless charger?
It is a fast wireless charger, yeah. It takes, for my S8, from 50% up to about 90%, 30, 40 minutes.
Well, that is pretty good.
It is not bad at all. I'm very impressed.
One of the things I like doing with a wireless charger is to actually just leave my phone on it while I'm at my desk at work, so it saves me having to plug it in.
If I
leave my desk, I have to unplug it. I can just pick it up and take it with me.
Yeah, you just leave it. That's exactly what you do.
When you get back to your desk, you have to do that thing where you have to put it down like 3 different times to...
Yeah.
You tend not to have to do that with Samsung phones. They actually have larger coils in them, so they tend to locate themselves on chargers a little bit better.
The one I've got at work is quite a small Murphy.
Yeah. A small Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. It sounded like you said something else. cool.
Murphy, you know, the Irish guy.
Yeah, that guy messes up everything that he's involved with.
I know.
So I guess if the pad that you're charging from is small, then yeah, that could be a problem too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, this one, as I said, about 3-4 inches square, it is quite usable.
Yeah, cool.
And I have again
high praise, usable.
Yeah.
But I guess that's all you want from a wireless charger.
Well, that's it. That's it.
Well, you don't want it to be unusable.
No, you want it. You really do want it to be simple. Plug it in, put your phone on it, and it works. What more do you expect?
Not to catch fire.
Yeah, that too.
And you've got one more.
One more device, which is the 360 Neo Vent. And what it is a magnetic holder for your phone that just has a clip that clips into your vents on the dashboard of your car. And
bonus is that if the vent is on, it will keep the phone cool as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It comes with a couple of little magnetic pieces.
Perfect if your battery's overheating or your wireless charger.
Yeah. It comes with a couple of little magnetic pieces that fit on the back of the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, if you can put them inside the phone case that you're using, so you don't have to stick them to the actual case. And then your phone magnetically attaches to the... to the holder, which just sits in the on the vent.
What if your car doesn't have very good suspension, or if you're driving down a cobblestone street as I was last week, and oh my goodness, that was bumpy.
Well, that's a very interesting question, because my car has very good suspension.
Yeah, yeah. Your phone will just be like it's riding on a cushion of air.
Well, no. Because my car is a sports model. It actually has very firm suspension. Very firm suspension.
Are you saying that you made the phone fall off?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. What I'm saying is that my car has a very firm ride, and for what the car is, some people get surprised at, you know, sort of basically that that it's not as supple as you might expect. But I like it.
So the magnetic mounts for the phone handled that suspension just fine?
They absolutely do. They absolutely do. I don't have a price for this one, unfortunately. Let me...
It's an amount of dollars.
Yeah, it's an amount of dollars. It's not...
It was between zero and infinity.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we should play some music. This is Van Morrison. Sir Ivan Morrison, as he is known these days. Sir Ivan Morrison, an Irish gentleman. And the piece of music that made him famous as a solo performer, Moondance.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heart.
You're back listening to The Gadget Grill on Radio 2 RDJ, 88.1 of the FM band and radio2rdj.com on the web. And we're sadly almost out of time for this week.
We are indeed. But
not before we talk about a useless company.
Yeah, no, well, I think this
we
has
can't
become
say the company is useless.
This has become the tech fail segment, yes.
Yes,
They kind of are, given this state of affairs.
Well, indeed. What would you say if I told you that I had a website that the security was so fantastically good that it didn't matter that my passwords were in plain text?
I would say that someone's already hacked your website and you don't even know it.
I would agree with you as well. Jason, carry on.
This story comes to us from the European climes of Austria, where T-Mobile, in the last few days, in the T-Mobile Austria version, has been somewhat caught out and caught into a bit of
arrogant is the word I would use.
Bit of a tweet. Yeah, yeah, yes. A bit of a twit. With apologies to the Twit Network, because we don't want to associate them with that. Apparently, T-Mobile Austria is storing customers' passwords in plain text,
which a lot of telcos do.
It depends on the service that they're actually storing the passwords for. I would say that the standard is, in fact, to hash the passwords. But T-Mobile did get into it with a particular customer on Twitter, and they said the customer service agents do see the first four characters of the password so that they can verify you over the phone, but reassured them that they do store the whole password because you need it to log in to their website.
Yep.
Now, when asked to clarify if this means that they're actually storing passwords in plain text, they said, I don't see why. A nice customer service agent just came in with a personal response and said, look, I don't get why this is a problem. You have so many passwords for every app, every email account and so on. We secure all data very carefully, so there is not a thing to fear.
And
That's
red flag to a bull stuff.
That is, and so the internet did respond in kind. Someone responded and said, what if your infrastructure gets breached and everyone's password is published in plain text to the whole world? And
Which is why plain text is a problem.
Yes. And to the red rag to a bull nature, T-Mobile's response was, what if this doesn't happen because our security is amazingly good?
And so we're expecting a T-Mobile hack next week.
We are indeed, and what I've already seen so far is somebody has had a look at the robot's text file, done a query based on that, and come out with a list of suggested directories on their server where these passwords might be stored. So
the internet's final warning to T-Mobile Austria was, bad news, guys. Nobody's security is that good.
And that's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. You've been listening to The Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I'm Alex Harsh.
And I'm Jason Murray,
the faceplant kid. And
we'll Alex doesn't get a neat...
No, it's Alex
Mr.
Chaos.
You're Mr. Chaos.
Alex yes, Chaos. Mr. Chaos, that's right.
Alex Chaos. We finally have nicknames for everybody in the team. We'll be back. Well, you guys will be back next week. Yep. I'll be listening from Oregon. I'll be in Oregon at the time this time next week.
Amazing.
We'll take care. You all take care. This is Caravan by Stuff Smith.